Welcome back. Message number four. What do you think are the three greatest fears in today's world? Give reasons for your answers. Climate change. These are my opinions. Global warming. That's what I believe the world is most afraid of. Imagine with their scientific data and what they have been told that within a certain period of time, this world will become unlivable. That means whatever you do on Earth, whatever you hope for your future on this Earth, they will completely be dashed. And there is absolutely nothing you can do about it. And so man thinks that they can turn the clock back and improve climate. And they believe that it is man's lifestyle based upon the burning of fossil fuel and our first world country environment in using so many air conditions. And all these are factors that they thought they can reverse. Many third world countries are not happy. They say that, well, you first world countries have done this to us. Now we want to be like you, improve our living conditions, and you want to stop us. And so it is going to be a hopeless endeavor. And I believe climate change is what they do not want to accept. They are living in denial because the reality is a state of hopelessness without God and without Christ. God is the creator, and creation listens to only the voice of the creator. Man's reason for the climate change is sin, not the burning of fossil fuel. If the whole world were to go on their knees and accept Christ as Lord and as Savior, I think that is how they can change the climate and God will improve this world, maybe even to the state of the Garden of Eden, right? You think the whole world will go on their knees and accept Christ as Lord and as Savior? Impossible, isn't it? It will never happen. And therefore, this world is doomed for destruction, and the Bible already warned us. It is doomed to be destroyed by fire. It is reserved for destruction by fire. Another fear would be the economy of the world. It is a world where people live on borrowed time. We live in a society where the economy of countries are based upon what is in the future. Many of the very, very rich individuals, like what we call billionaires or trillionaires, if there are any, their wealth is based upon their share prices. Share prices is not true wealth. It's in the imagination of man. And that was why during those period of recession, billionaire could suddenly lose billions of dollars because their stocks and their shares plunge. And they are no longer as rich as before. And as you and I know, some of them have committed suicide because they could not bear the burden of their wealth being taken away from them literally overnight. So is that true wealth where it is based upon the price of your stock and shares? Stocks and shares go up because people think that your company in the future will be successful, right? The moment they see that your company is not going to make it, your stocks and shares will plunge to nothing. So basically, the wealth of these people are based upon the whims and fancies of the public. The moment the public confidence is destroyed, all you need is a rumor here and a rumor there, and the confidence in the company is gone, there will be mass selling of your stocks and shares. And then once it is flooding the market, the price will plunge. And you will have to do whatever you can to prevent it, right? You see all these Tesla, all these companies. Once upon a time, there were many of these companies that used to be very, very wealthy, very rich, but they don't even exist nowadays. And you think companies like Tesla and the company that is designed by Bill Gates, with all his computer and so on, you think they're going to last forever? Nothing that man handles and touch will last forever. Everything will have an expiration date. It may be longer for some, shorter for others, but an expiration date is guaranteed. And man is very nervous and afraid of all these temporal matters. But for us as believers, they should not bother us one bit. Your Heavenly Father is in control of the economy of the world, and it will climax according to what he has prophesied in the Bible, the Antichrist. That is guaranteed. And that's how you must look at the world. Another fear may be wars, global catastrophe. If China were to flex its muscles, and in the process of flexing its muscles, all you need is one Taiwanese soldier to make a mistake and fire a missile or shoot something when the two ships clash. It's something horrendous. And because of the pride and the arrogance of man, nobody wants to lose face. It can start a war very close to Southeast Asia, and we will be affected. But the vast and great island of Australia down under, probably you are safe, right? Just like Second World War, this part of the world was not invaded or touched. Your Australian soldiers did go to many hot spots in the Second World War, but pretty safe from man, but not from the judgment of God. And so I believe these are the three greatest fears in today's world: climate change, wars, and economic wars that you find very, very much prominent in today's news. Everyone wants to guard their borders, right? America, China, these are the big boys. Europe, all the money matters that concern the world. Number two, should Christian be afraid of parents? Should a Christian employee be afraid of his unbeliever boss? Should church members be afraid of church leaders? Of course, the answer is yes and no. Our children should be afraid of parents, of course, for the right reason. That is why I do not believe that parents should see themselves as friends of their children, no matter how old our children become. We are never our children's friends. We must always be parents to them. Our way of relating to them as parents will change and evolve as our children grow. The older they are, we realize that we have to treat them as adults, but as parents, we will always be. There was an incident where the parent did not realize how their child has grown up to be an adult. The child was in his late 20s or early 30s. And he still wanted to give his son, who stays with him, a curfew, telling him that you have to be back by this time or else the door will be locked and it will not be opened. The son went out, missed the deadline, the curfew time, tried to get in. The husband won't allow. It went on outside. The son was outside. The father was inside. The mother tried to intervene and beg the father to let him come in. I cannot lose my authority. I must keep my word. If I tell him something, I will and must keep it. Or else, he will see that I don't mean what I say. And so, after another hour or so, the father refused to open the door, no matter what the mother said. And so the son walked out and stayed with his girlfriend in the girlfriend's home for the next few months. Very sad and very tragic. So when I counseled the father, I said, you cannot treat him like a child. You have to grow up with your son. As long as he doesn't do anything in the house that is sinful or wrong, you have to let him be an adult. Curfew time are for young children, teenagers even. But as an adult, if he has to make mistakes, let him make the mistakes and bear the consequence. That's how he grows up and that's how he learns. And so for children to fear parents, it's good for the right reason. not the kind of fear that will cripple them because you are a father who cannot control your temper. And they are afraid of you the moment you come back, they see your demeanor because of the office work. Dad is angry. We better stay away from him. And so you lash out, not that kind of fear. The kind of fear that will keep your children well behaved, knowing that if they lie, if they do anything naughty or sinful, parents will discipline. That is the right kind of fear. And when you discipline them according to scripture, to fear you is the same as fearing God, which is the beginning of wisdom. Our children are born with a sinful nature. They are therefore predisposed to hear the voice of the devil, where the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life will be inflamed the moment they cross the line of accountability. Now they are willful. Now they will deliberately follow the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. If parents do not give them a Christian alternative, that is to discipline them correctly, telling them that if you do wrong, there will be pain. If you do right, that will be fine. Let them know, because if you do not, the only alternative is to follow the way of the sinful nature, which is the way of the world, and you're going to lose them. And therefore, when you discipline them, they will be afraid of you for the right reason. They will not want to misbehave. Sinful nature means they're prone to misbehave. They're prone to throw tantrums. So when your children throw tantrums, you do nothing. What do you think they are going to continue to do? Throw more tantrums. Because I throw tantrums, mom and dad didn't do anything, and that's how I will get my things done. And so when they grow older, they continue to throw tantrums, whether they are in the house or outside in restaurants, they don't care because it works. I want something, I don't get it, I throw tantrums, I got it. And so next time they want something again, they don't get it, they throw a tantrum. And so when they grow up and they're in the working world, and they can't get what they want from the big boss, they throw a tantrum. You think that will happen? Many times, right? They get upset, they get angry, they raise their voices, they cannot control their emotions. Because it all started when they were little. So beware and be warned. Should a Christian be afraid of unbelieving boss? Yes, again, to keep you in check. The boss says you have to be in office by 8, leave only no earlier than 6 p.m. If you do not, there will be penalty. Otherwise, if there is none, you will come as you wish, you will leave as you wish. Can you imagine the kind of environment in the company? So any of the authority that God has put over us, the Bible made it very clear. There are no authority over any of God's children except that which God has ordained. So parents, our bosses, our government, all these, including church leaders, are ordained by God. And once you see it that way, you realize that they are there for our good. And so when you obey them correctly for the right reason, it's the same as obeying God. The enemies of Christ, number 3, use the weapon of fear to intimidate and cripple Christians so that they will not obey God. What is your greatest fear that might cause you to not fulfill the will of God in your life? This is a very personal question, as you know, and it's up to each and every one of us to answer in our own way. All right, and because time is flowing by, and I have to stop at exactly at 12:15, that is non-negotiable. And there are 2 extra questions, so I just like to deal with them quickly. Fear of God is also believed in Islam, Judaism, and other religions. How would a serene, calm facing of adversity in Islam or Christianity be different? Who is more committed? Romans 10, verse 1 to verse 13 is where the answer can be found. The Bible tells us that if you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, even those who read the Old Testament, memorize the Old Testament, the book will be closed to them. And the fear of God, it will not be the God of the Bible that they fear, it will be the God of their own imagination. Our fear of God that is based upon scripture will drive us to the Savior. And the fear of God that is based upon scripture that is in Christ will be the godly kind of fear. Right, the fear of God is a common phrase. I agree that it is found everywhere. Paul thought that as a Pharisee of Pharisees, he was doing God a big favor in persecuting Christians, arresting them and putting them to prison and even to death. He later on admitted that he did it out of ignorance. In the Old Testament, the saints in the Old Testament, they became saints by looking forward to the Savior. And so through all the sacrifices that they learned from the Old Testament, sin offering, burnt offering, they know an animal cannot take away their sin. They are not made in God's image. A human being is. So how can an animal pay for my sin? But when they did all these based upon a proper, correct understanding of Scripture, knowing that this ox or this sheep represent a future Savior, someone who will die on the cross for my sin, and with more revelation given to them, by the time it comes to the book of Isaiah, you realize that God said it will be Emmanuel, God with us. That means God will come in the form of man. There will be an incarnation. Not reincarnation, incarnation. Christ will take on flesh and blood to come and suffer and to die for us. And they will be saved. But after the first coming of Christ, which was exactly what happened during the time of Christ, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the priests, they rejected Jesus of Nazareth as the Christ. They still want to hold on to the Old Testament version of the gospel, which saved the Old Testament saints, looking forward to the Savior who will come one day. But once the Savior had come, and then you deny and reject him and still want to look forward to another Savior, which is not going to come, that means you still hold on to the Old Testament gospel as if you're still living in the Old Testament, which is what present-day Judaism is. There will be no salvation, which was exactly what Paul himself experienced and confessed and repented of. So that is the difference between the fear of God found in other religions and the fear of God in the Bible. The peace that you have fearing the God of the Scripture that will drive you to the Savior will truly give you the right kind of peace that you have, but not these. Last question. Can a Chinese Christian be interested in and learn about Tao Te Ching, Laozi's works, Laozi works, right? Laozi is the mean old master, right? Laozi of Confucianism, or The Art of War by Sun Tzu or Sun Tzu. A lot depends on what you mean by interest and learning. All right? Because I check up this Laozi. Laozi is the father of Taoism. Confucianism is basically a teaching that focuses on good behavior, family life, and so on. Tradition, how to respect parents and so on and so forth, filial piety and so on. But they are not based upon God and Christ. So if you say you want to learn and you are interested, the question is, what kind of learning and interests are you talking about? If it is the kind of learning and interests whereby you feel that the Bible is not enough, then it would be wrong. But if to learn and to show interest in order to help someone who believes in this, then it's different. Because in order to help these individuals, it's good to know how they think, how they reason, so that you can help them. And for that reason, if it is to be interested and to learn to help someone know Christ, who is very steep in Laozi's works or Confucianism, what they teach and what they stand for. And that's why the seminary had this kind of courses. But it was torturous and vexation of spirit to read about how they attacked the Bible. Like Moses did not write the first five books. Book of Daniel was written by many Daniels. They wrote it and then they used the pseudonym called Daniel. And someone many, many decades later compiled it and rearranged it into what we have today. Because the book of Daniel had prophecies that are so precise that even liberals and all the modernists could not deny the specificity of the prophecy of Daniel, where God said so clearly, and it was torturous. So when you read any books that are out there, a lot depends on your motive. Okay? 12:15. Thank you very much.